what about classical music? Is classical music right, or is that of the world? Well, let me give you a famous thing. It's called the tritone. Does anyone know what the tritone is? Anybody know?
Hi, this is Todd Hoban with Making Music Magazine. I wrote an article about the magical, mysterious tritone chord. I'm going to demonstrate it for you right now. Tritone chord is a jazz chord that you'll hear all the time, and it's very easy to make. Basically, you start, put your thumb on an E. Now, you put your first finger on the tritone. That's a B flat in this case.
That is. But you know, the tritone is basically a tone of discord, and it was given the nickname throughout history. It was called the devil's chord. No words to it, but it was called the devil's chord, not by the Christian world, by the secular world. It was known as the devil's chord. Why? Because when you listen to it, it sounds evil. And whenever they use that music, it's a song of not of melody, but of discord. Remember, the Bible said grace and melody. But it's a song of discord. Now, it sounds good to your ears because it's the lust of the ears, my friend. But it's a song of discord. One of the famous songs was by a guy named Camille Saint-Saëns called Danse Macabre. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, okay? But this was a very famous song, and this is the song that really talked about the devil's chord, okay? And I had my wife listen to this song for 30 seconds, and she had never heard the song before. And I asked her, you know, what does this song sound like it's about? And my wife said, it sounds evil. Right? I mean, there's no words to it, but you could listen to that and know it sounds evil. And what the song is about, it's the dance of the dead, where basically all these skeletons are brought up from the ground, and basically, you know, they're dancing. Like a really dark, I mean, all that hate me love death, the Bible says. Right? I mean, it's a really dark song. See, classical music, there's actually a meaning to those songs, because oftentimes they would play them in a play or an opera, and they would have live action behind it, even though there was no words, okay? The songs themselves, they gave names to those songs, and oftentimes they represented something, even though there was no words to them, okay? Now look, you say, well, how do I, let me give you one other example. Who knows the song Night on Bald Mountain? Anybody? Night on Bald Mountain. Who's watched Fantasia? Who's watched Fantasia? Anybody? A Disney movie? Nobody. Okay? But the Night on Bald Mountain, basically, in Fantasia, they would have music playing. This was an old Disney movie. And they would have, like, live action behind it. Like, there's a famous song, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, where Mickey Mouse is, like, doing all this black magic. Because, well, he's doing the good magic. There's the black magic. I think he's doing the good magic in it. Okay? All magic is bad, my friend. But he's basically, there's live action to it. And there's a song there called The Night on Bald Mountain by Mussorgsky. This was a very famous classical song. It's considered one of the best songs. And basically that song, once the evil part starts playing, the devil basically comes up through the sky. Okay? So it's basically a song that's representing evil. There's no words to that music, but you could listen to that song, which I'm not recommending, and you could tell me the meaning of it, even though there's no words to it. You would know that represented darkness and evil. You say, why? Because the tune itself has meaning. And, you know, honestly, when we want to listen to rock music and ungodly music, it's not the new man. It's the old man, and it's the lust of the ears that your ears enjoy listening to it.
The music of the world.
Whether it's the rock music or pop music or K-pop or whatever's popular here, people listen to the rap and the hip-hop. They listen to the music of the world. But the Bible says when you get saved, he puts a new song in your mouth. See, before I was saved, I didn't enjoy the songs that are in this hymnal right here. I didn't sing the songs in this hymnal. But after I got saved, these songs had meaning to me. And God does want you to listen to a different type of music after you're saved and after you start living for God than before. And so I listened to a lot of pretty bad music before I was saved. And you know, after I got saved, there wasn't some magical change. Right? When I got saved, it wasn't just like, oh man, I don't like the sound of Aerosmith anymore. No, I still like the sound of Aerosmith after I got saved. And see, this sort of preaching is what made me make changes in my life, because I realized, you know what? God cares about what I let enter into my ears. And although my flesh loves to hear this, the lust of the ears, that's not what God wants me to listen to. And so then it gives us a verse here afterwards that gives us a principle. How can we be filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the truth is that when you're doing really well spiritually and you're in a good mood and you really love the Lord, you're going to start singing praises to God. You don't feel like singing hymns when you're living a sinful life. But if you're living a godly life, you know, you're at home just doing whatever and you just feel like singing praises to God. And see, the Bible says singing praises can actually make you filled with the Spirit, referring to music, okay? It says speaking to yourselves in psalms, like Psalms, what was it, 126 we sang? Speaking to yourselves in psalms like we sang here at the beginning of the service.